Abraham Lincoln said, "Give me 6 hours to chop down a tree, and I will spend the first four sharpening the axe." Hi, I'm Rob West. Wise preparation is one of the keys to any successful effort, from tree chopping to gift shopping. Today, we'll talk about preparing your heart and your wallet for holiday spending. Then we'll take your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, it seems as if retailers start the so-called traditional buying season earlier and earlier every year. There's a lot of pressure to spend money on holiday decor, gifts, and experiences starting in the fall and running through December. Well, if they can start early, so can we. We're going to help you prepare by resisting the temptations of emotional buying and impulse spending. Let's start with emotional buying. Even if you believe you're a rational, practical person, there's no escaping the fact that most of your buying decisions will be emotional. This is especially true during the holidays. You may recognize these emotions that can influence your buying decisions. Affection. You want the best for your loved ones, even if it means overspending. Parents feel the pressure to show their love by buying what the kids want. This is a very familiar temptation. Guilt is another emotion that drives spending decisions. Maybe you find yourself buying gifts to make up for not spending time with someone, or spending extra money to give your family a, quote, good Christmas when you really can't afford it. Pride can push you into buying more than you should. You want the latest and greatest products, to be like the celebrities you admire, or to keep up with what your neighbors have. The emotion of desire is at the heart of many buying decisions. Everyone wants comfort, love, and appreciation. Desire makes us believe that material things can meet these needs, which, of course, is a lie. Fear is a strong emotion when it comes to making purchases. In social media, it's known as FOMO, or fear of missing out. Fear of not having enough, not giving enough, or not doing enough can push people to buy things. Unfortunately, allowing these emotions to guide your holiday spending can leave you with financial regret when the credit card bills come in January. Proverbs 25:28 warns about this. Like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control. Impulse buying is another temptation that hits at this time of year. It's a close relation to emotional buying because many of the impulses that cause it are emotional. Financially speaking, impulse spending is also very unwise, and here's why. First, impulse purchases are hasty decisions. Proverbs 21:5 warns us against being hasty. The plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage, but everyone who is hasty comes surely to poverty. Next, impulse purchases often result in buyer's remorse. Finally, impulse purchases steal money from better causes. Of course, advertisers know all about the power of emotion and the temptation to buy on impulse, but you don't have to give in. So here's what to do if you want to keep your heart focused on God and your budget under control in the weeks leading up to Christmas. First, know your enemy. Overspending may make you feel good now, but it can destroy your financial peace. Proverbs 22:3 says, "The prudent man sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it." Next, make a spending plan and stick to it. Ideally, you should be saving a little each month to pay for things outside your monthly budget. And if you overspent last Christmas season, start saving now so it doesn't happen again. Once you've got a plan, communicate. Get everyone on board with the family's holiday budget. Your kids will learn valuable lessons when they see you planning wisely, setting boundaries, and honoring the Lord. Finally, focus on others. Shift the focus from getting to giving, and that will go a long way to solving any emotional or impulse buying problems. Find ways to share the good news with those less fortunate this Christmas. So now's the time to sharpen your financial axe, preparing to chop down the tree of holiday spending without toppling your budget. A spending plan can help you avoid emotional buying and impulse spending. So get one started at faithfi.com or download our FaithFi app from your mobile app store. Just search for FaithFi, Faith and Finances, wherever you download apps. All right, your calls are next. The number, 800-525-7000. Call that 24-7, 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Stay tuned.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Some pieces of architecture are so magnificent that the nations will flock to them. I'm thinking of the Eiffel Tower, the Statue of Liberty, the Great Pyramid of Giza. They are a source of pride for locals and a wonder to the watching world. King Solomon built the Temple of the Lord after 7 years of work. All Israel rejoiced. But Solomon wanted this temple not only to benefit the Israelites, but even the whole world. This is why he asked the Lord to do whatever the foreigner asks of you, so that all may know your name and fear you. This prayer has come true, not with the physical temple, but the spiritual temple, Jesus Christ. Through Jesus, the nations come to know and fear the living God. Grow in your walk with Christ. Visit getanchored.com.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Today's culture is opting for entertainment rather than biblical enlightenment. For those who resist that trend, Friends of Israel shows listeners why loving the Jewish people and supporting Israel is important to the Christian faith. Friends of Israel shares biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah and promotes solidarity with the Jewish people.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel.
Friends of Israel, Saturday afternoon at 2, here on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Well, it's great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. All right, it's time to take your calls and questions today. We've got lines open, but we're ready for you. The number to call is 800-525-7000. That's right, with any financial question today, whether it's your spending plan, maybe it's that real estate you're looking to buy, maybe it's your stock investments, or how you get that credit score up, whatever it might be, we'd love to hear from you today. 800-525-7000. We've got lines open. The calls will come in quick, so we'd love for you to go ahead and get in the queue, and we'll look forward to chatting with you. Again, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's go to Michigan to begin today. Hi, Fran. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
Okay, so what we got is we got a small business that me and my wife are going to be selling. Our selling price is like $1.4 million. Our accountant told us we might be paying $300,000 in capital gains. What can we do to prevent having to pay so much capital gains tax?
Yeah. Have you already sold the business?
Not yet. No.
Okay. Got it. You know, I mean, one of the most effective ways to go about this would be if you want to do any charitable giving out of this sale, you could actually donate a portion of the business to a donor advised fund whatever percent of the business you want prior to the sale, and then that portion of it would not be subject to capital gains, and then you could give that money away. It would have to go to a not-for-profit ministry, charity, or your church. But were you looking to do any giving out of this? And I'm not saying you necessarily should. I'm just asking the question.
You know, I'm sure we will.
Okay. Yeah. So that would be one way, because for any portion that you were going to give away anyway, you might as well skip the capital gains on that portion. And that's where that gift, you know, would come into play. You must have a very low cost basis on this. Is that right?
What do you mean?
Well, so the way you determine capital gains is when you're selling a business is to determine the original cost basis. You know, so the cost of acquiring the business plus, you know, any improvements you made over the years.
Yeah, we it was the S Corporation we purchased from family and then took over. So all the, when we bought it, everything was already depreciated, so we couldn't depreciate nothing else other than the new stuff. But we've owned it since 97, so, and it's been in the family since 1980, so it's, yeah.
Yeah, got it. All right. Yeah, and so you're, you've been working with a CPA, and the CPA is the one who told you what the cost, what the capital gain would be, is that right?
That is correct, yeah.
Okay. And are you using, doing this as an installment sale, or are you just selling it outright?
Outright.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's not a whole lot of ways around this with a business. I mean, with a piece of real estate, you could roll it into another property, a like-kind property. But, you know, apart from, you know, the charitable opportunities here, you know, you're probably just going to have to go ahead and pay this. You know, what is your income, and therefore, what capital gains rate is he saying you're going to be paying?
He never really said, you know, our income is low. Because we just keep on putting it back into the company, you know. Me and my wife, I think we make like $50,000 a
year. Okay. All right. Yeah, I mean, so it's obviously a long-term capital gain. I mean, you know, there's you're likely going to be at the 15% rate, you know, depending upon how your income is treated. But a lot of this, you know, just has a, it has to do with ultimately with, again, you know, what is your selling price minus your original cost basis? And he'll, you know, working with a professional is really critical when you're determining capital gains, because they want to make sure to get the true cost basis on the property, which is going to drive that ultimate capital gain that you have, and then the tax that will be paid as a result of it. So I think perhaps your next step, if you do want to do some giving on this, would be to contact our friends at the National Christian Foundation to see about donating a portion of it prior to the sale to a donor advised fund. Apart from that, there's probably not a whole lot else you can do just based on the situation you're describing. I know it's never fun to pay tax. Good news is you're going to have a nice gain on top of that, keeping probably 85% of the proceeds. And so it's probably about the best I can offer you today, Fran, but we appreciate you checking in with us, and congratulations on being able to sell this business. Thanks for being on the program. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. If you have a financial question today, we'd love to tackle it with you, see how we can help you apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions. 800-525-7000. And you can call right now. You know, as we think about managing God's money, often we will think about going it alone when it comes to our finances. And, you know, that can put us into a position in the kind of DIY philosophy of life to trust in ourselves when we know that we should ultimately trust in God. You know, living in America in the 21st century, we have a lot of advantages. I mean, in terms of personal finances, we have amazing technologies to help us. We have money management tools, research, the fundamental strength of our economy here in the U.S. despite our challenges. I mean, individually, God has given us incredible gifts and talents to use in our daily decisions. But with all of that going for us, we can often try to think that we can go it alone financially. Unfortunately, that DIY philosophy is a blueprint for financial and ultimately spiritual disaster. Why? Well, because the Bible says the days are evil. I mean, we desperately need Jesus because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Ephesians 5 reminds us that as Christians, we're supposed to model our lives after Christ by walking in the way of love and by living as children of the light. So, you know, where we can get the godly wisdom we need is from God's word. And, you know, I think as we begin to renew our minds around all of these passages we find in Scripture, we will find that we'll gain more confidence in making decisions because we've got our trust anchored to the right place, and that's in God Himself, our true provider. So how do we approach that? Well, I think the first idea is that we just need to ask for wisdom. James 1:5 says, if you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given you. A second powerful source of God's wisdom is, of course, God's word. You'll never regret the time you spend getting to know the Bible, because Hebrews 4 tells us plainly, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And of course, 2 Timothy reminds us that all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching and reproof and correction and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So admitting that you can't manage your finances on your own can be humbling. On the other hand, God promises to help those who are humble. So don't try to do it yourself with your financial decisions and choices. And so here's what I would say just simply. Number one, learn from your past mistakes. Admit that you don't know enough and you need help. Pray and ask God for wisdom. Study His word and seek advice from wise, experienced believers. That's, for instance, why we talk a lot about the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation, because we want you to be able to get godly counsel from professionals, those who can walk alongside you as you're making decisions and choices, making investment decisions, planning your estate, making sure the next steward is chosen and prepared. All of that comes, I think, by seeking God's word, praying, but also getting some wise counsel. I hope that's an encouragement to you today. Scott, we're coming your way next. Right after this break, we've got lines open, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance.
Hi, I'm Matt Ayers, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary. Do you want to be prepared for ministry at an institution that you can trust? Wesley Biblical Seminary has been training trusted leaders for faithful churches for almost 50 years. In a nation where many denominations and theological institutions are caving to cultural pressure, Wesley Biblical Seminary is standing strong on God's truth. Earn your bachelor's or master's degree to equip you for faithful and fruitful ministry. Learn more at wbs.edu.
What if your everyday purchases could support biblical causes? With the all-new Cash Rewards Visa card from Christian Community Credit Union, a portion of every purchase goes to ministries that spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children. Plus, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back. Visit joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
The loss of a child through an abortion affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming, but there is hope and healing in the aftermath. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
I'd like to take a moment to ask you to consider investing in the ministry that you know as American Family Association. One way you can support AFA's efforts is through your estate planning. You can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit afafoundation.net.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
It's great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today, 800-525-7000. Whatever's on your mind today financially, give us a call. Let's talk about it. 800-525-7000. Let's go to Texas. Scott is a first-time caller. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hey, Rob. Hey, Rob. Good morning.
Hi there.
I was calling in. I've got about $375,000 in a retirement account that I rolled over to an IRA that I manage now. I had a great first job and a great opportunity to put a lot of money away, and that's really slowed down since then. And I got tired of trying to allocate money in the account and got turned on to target date retirement funds. And so I have that all into Vanguard's 2050 target retirement fund.
Okay.
Saw an article in the journal yesterday about the 60-40 bond split and how that's changed. And the name of the game is different in the post-COVID era. And was just looking for some counsel on, is that still a good place to have some money tucked away, or should I be looking at doing something else with that cash?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think it ultimately comes down to what your goals and objectives are. I mean, obviously, people are living longer these days, and one of the criticisms of the target date fund is that some will say, you don't have enough allocated to equities in that target date fund, and you should, be a little more aggressive, just given that you need this money to last longer, and therefore you're seeking a higher average annual return. The other kind of piece of this is just, your values and how you want those reflected in your investments and, whether you want to be able to, ensure that some of the companies you're invested in line up with your values as a believer. But I think just for what it's, intended to do, the target date fund is a great way to diversify your investments with minimal effort because you don't have to have that hands-on approach and it will automatically get more conservative, as you get closer and closer to retirement. One approach would be just to, push the target date out, maybe 5 to 10 years beyond your actual retirement date. And that would allow you to get a little bit more aggressive if you wanted to do that. And that would be one approach there. So, I don't have any issue necessarily with it. I think, it's really just, do you want a passive or an active strategy? And, kind of how will your values relate to this? And, that would obviously involve you using more faith-based investing solutions. How much is in this account at the moment?
Like $375,000.
Okay. And it's an IRA, correct?
Yes.
All right. Have you thought about hiring an advisor to oversee this for you?
I've dabbled in that and then just get scared away by the cost at the end of the day. I've approached a couple guys and worked. There's a good outfit, Ronald Blue Trust down here, that's a faith-based investment firm that can help guys like me do this. And that might be, you're not the first one to ask me that question.
Yeah. I think, given that you've got a significant sum of money here, Scott, I don't think that's a bad idea for you to consider having an advisor. And that way, you wouldn't have to worry about it. You'd know there's a more active approach taken to how the investments are being selected. You'd have somebody you could check in with periodically. Then you're not making emotional decisions. I mean, as we head into this recession, you really want a rules-based strategy that kind of takes the emotion out of it, because the tendency is when the market starts falling, especially if the recession's a little deeper than we expect, the tendency would be to say, well, I'm just going to go to cash for a while. I'll get back in when this is over, quote unquote. The problem is that just doesn't work because, we can't predict the timing on all this. So, and I'm not discounting what you're doing here. Again, the target date approach is a great approach. A lot of people really like it. But for me, I would probably consider finding an advisor who, you have a good rapport with, that you can communicate well with. They have, kind of understand your values, but they can also really bring a thoughtful approach to the investment selections as well to minimize risk and, you know, ultimately help you achieve your goals over time.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Absolutely, Scott. Hey, appreciate you being on the program today, sir. God bless you. Thanks for calling. We've got a couple of lines open, 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you today. Let's go to Oklahoma. Hi, Rose. Go ahead.
Yes. Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. My question is, I'm looking to buy an investment property, and it's a $200,000 property, and I have a $500,000 in an investment account in an IRA, and I was wondering, and there's a potential to pick up an assumable mortgage for 3.7% for half the value of the property. And I'm wondering if I should take all my money out of my investment and pay cash, or should I do half on the assumable mortgage and half taking money out of my investment account?
Yeah. So you said this money that you would be pulling from is in an IRA. Is that right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. So the challenge there is that's going to be all taxable to you as you pull it out. What is your age?
I'm 61.
Okay, so you wouldn't have the penalty, but it would all be added to your taxable income, which would give you a really steep tax bill because a lot of that would be pushed up into a higher bracket, if not a couple of brackets higher. You know, and I think you're right. I mean, this is attractive that you've got this assumable mortgage that's down, you know, at an interest rate. Did you say 3.7%?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's down at an interest rate that's less than half of the prevailing rates today. So I like that a lot. One option to consider is, have you heard of what's called a self-directed IRA?
No.
Okay. So essentially a self-directed IRA allows you to invest in other asset classes beyond stocks and bonds, including a piece of real estate. So essentially what would happen is the money stays in the IRA, and you can use that to buy the real estate inside the self-directed IRA. So you actually are not taking the distribution. You're keeping it in the IRA account category, but you're still buying a piece of real estate. And that way you're not having to, you know, pay taxes on it. So I would probably connect with a certified Kingdom advisor and talk about a self-directed IRA. You can find a CKA in Oklahoma on our website, faithfi.com. Click find a CKA, faithfi.com. I hope that helps, Rose. Thanks for your call today. We'll be right back.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
I love this country. But can I tell you something? I love the Lord more than I love this country, and I love the body of Christ more than I love this country. So it is because I love you, frankly, I have to tell the truth. There are many that are more concerned with the consequences in our nation than we are about the cause.
The Hamilton Quarter. Weekday afternoons at 5 Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Are you investing in the future of God's kingdom or wonder how your money can make the most impact for His purposes? Kenneth Boa and Russ Crossan wrote the book Leverage, Using Temporal Wealth for Eternal Gain, to guide these discussions and build a financial legacy where moth nor rust destroy. Request your copy with your gift of any amount at faithfi.com. Your donation helps us share God's financial principles with others. Leverage your resources for greater impact today.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way. The Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Well, it's great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We've got some lines open, 800-525-7000. What's your financial question today? We'll help you process it through the lens of Scripture and make a great decision. The number to call again is 800-525-7000. All right, let's go back to the phones. Back to Texas. Hey, Scott, go ahead, sir.
Hey, Rob. I had a question, I guess, about the difference between LLC and S-Corp election.
Yes.
And I just formed an LLC here in Texas, and I'm curious. I know I've got a limited amount of time before I can file for the S-Corp status, and I don't know if it's going to be advantageous to do so or not.
Yeah. If there will be multiple people involved in running the company, an S corp would be better than an LLC, since there, you know, would be oversight, you know, that can come with that. You said you've already formed an LLC, is that right?
Yeah, and it's me and my wife, both 50% ownership. And actually, that was another question I had, is I went to go to the IRS website and file for an EIN, and it asked specifically if it was multi-member or single member, and it said that since I was in a community property state, I could file it as a single member LLC as opposed to a multiple member. And I didn't finish the application, so I don't know if there's what the difference is, really.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. I would probably get some tax counsel on this from somebody to look at the situation and help you make this final decision. With the LLC, it has really the S corp has the best features of both the LLC and the C corp, because it provides you with the liability protection, but it also allows you to pass the profits and losses directly to the shareholders. So you're only taxed once. And then it can also help you reduce your personal income taxes, because you can characterize the money you receive from the business as salary or dividends, and that will often lower your liability for self-employment or FICA taxes. The S corp will also generate deductions for business expenses and wages paid to the employees, which again can be owners. I think it's certainly an important consideration. Do you have a CPA that you work with?
No, not yet.
Okay. Yeah. I think that's your next step, is to get, some legal counsel, to help you evaluate this and determine what would be your best structure. You also, may want to get an attorney involved as well. Did you file the LLC yourself, or did you have an attorney help you put that together?
Well, I used a Texas attorney that I found online, so I don't have a personal relationship with them, but it was an attorney office.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. An LLC is great in the sense that, it's a flow through for tax purposes, so you don't pay the corporate income taxes, and the company's profits and losses or deductions are passed through to the members of the LLC. So that avoids that double taxation that can happen. And you, of course, have to file the articles of organization with the state. Sounds like you've already done that. So it's a lot simpler to set up than a corporation. But, you know, it has to be dissolved if a member dies or, you know, and that's unlike a corporation that could, you know, theoretically last indefinitely. And then obviously if you ever decide to take it public, then that's a problem, but you probably not with a small business. But I think, you know, the S Corp does have some advantages with it as well. And so I would probably, you know, establish a relationship with both a local attorney as well as a CPA who can help you kind of look at your overall situation and talk through the pros and cons on this, before you make that final decision. Is that helpful? All right, Scott, looks like we lost you there. But listen, all the best to you in this new business. We appreciate your call today, and may the Lord bless you, sir. Call back anytime. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got a couple of lines open. Let's go to Evelyn in North Carolina. Hi there.
Hi, Rob, and thank you so much for your advice, because we have listened to you for about a year now and have been blessed.
Thank you.
Your wise counsel led us to getting I-bonds, and they matured this month. And so we understand that if we withdraw them before 12 months, then we pay a 3-month of interest penalty. But we're understanding that since we're withdrawing it at the 12-month period, we do not get a 3-month penalty. Is that correct?
And not quite, Evelyn, but I mean, you're on the right track, but let me just clarify. So you actually can't sell it or redeem it prior to 12 months. It's not even an option. Once you get to the 12-month mark, you can, but if it's less than 5 years and after a year, that's where the 3-month penalty comes in. So between 0 and 12 months, you can't take it out. From 12 months to 5 years, you can take it out, but that's where that 3-month penalty comes in. Beyond 5 years, no penalty at all. Does that make sense?
Yes. Okay, that's okay. What I wanted to clarify. So would we be wise to wait 3 more months and go ahead and take the penalty at the lower interest, instead of taking a penalty at the higher interest, because we earned the 9.62% and then the 6.8 or something. So we would take a penalty at the higher interest for 3 months. And should we just go ahead and wait 3 months so that we take the penalty at the lower interest?
Yes, absolutely. And you're very wise in what you're describing here, Evelyn. Because your rate changes every 6 months, it is smart to withdraw when your penalty will be based on a lower rate. And so you want to avoid cashing out when you'd be forfeiting a higher rate. So absolutely, you could give that an extra couple of months, get into that lower rate environment, and then go ahead and cash it out and pay your penalty.
Okay. And if you have time, I have one more question.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, great. We have 2 grandchildren who are in middle school, and we would like to contribute to their college fund, but we want to do something locally so that we can navigate the interest rates and the goodbyes. We have a credit union that gives great interest, and right now they have a 5% CD. Would that be, now what I was thinking of is going to the bank and making a joint, which each of them in my name and their name. But then when it comes tax time, would I have to declare that because I'm joint? Would I have to declare the interest? What is the best way to contribute to a college fund?
Yeah, you know, the best way is through what's called a 529 plan. Are you familiar with that term?
I think our son-in-law and daughter have those for the kids.
Yeah, let's do this. I'm going to ask you to hold, Evelyn, because I've got to take a quick break here. But when we come back from that break, I'd love to explain that to you and talk about whether that might be a good option for you. So stay right there. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance.
Thanks for listening to AFR. I'm Tim Watson.
Bro, no way that just happened.
Yeah, this radio is old, man.
Wait, you have Roku, don't you?
Yeah, but how's that gonna help us?
Dude, AFR's on Roku now.
Oh, seriously?
Yes. Where's your remote? All right, here we go.
We're in the same,
You are a genius.
Oh, yeah.
American Family Radio. Available on Apple and Android products, Amazon Alexa, and now available on Roku.
The purpose of government is to secure God-given or inalienable rights to man.
America's premier historian, David Barton.
John Dickinson, who's also a signer of the Constitution, he said, an inalienable right is a right which God gave to you and which no inferior power has a right to take away.
Wall Builders Live captures the ideas of the Founding Fathers and then applies those ideas to the issues of today. Sunday morning at 11:30 Central on American Family Radio.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Up just around the corner, Jerry Boyer will stop by with his Friday economic update. We'll find out what Jerry's been working on, thinking about this week. But first, Evelyn's in North Carolina. Just before the break, we were talking about her I-bonds, and she'd now like to talk about how she can bless her grandchildren with funds that would be used for college. And Evelyn, that's always the first question is, do you want to limit the use of these funds for college? Because that 529 education savings plan that I mentioned before the break is a great tool for that purpose, but it really does need to be used for college. Otherwise, we might save outside of a plan like that. So are you and your husband comfortable with earmarking this money for the grandkids specifically for higher education?
No, because they're really smart. And they're very athletic.
I love that.
Yes. So the possibility of a full ride scholarship or some kind of a good scholarship is there. And also, an athletic scholarship.
Yeah.
Prayerfully, if God wills it, those things are in the future for them. And that's why we kind of hesitate to earmark it where it absolutely has to be used for the college. So,
yeah.
Could you advise us with that information?
I'd be happy to. Yeah. So there is one provision in the 529 that does allow you to pull the money out on a pro rata basis based on any scholarships, grants, or awards that they get. So if that were to be the case, you'd be able to get the money back out. Now, if they just decided not to go to college, then, you would have a penalty on that money. You would be able to get it out for scholarships. So that is one consideration. Now, the second is, would you like to invest it in stocks and bonds, mainly stocks while they're younger, and then more toward the bond type investment as they get closer to college? Or you had mentioned CDs, which is more of a there's nothing without risk, but there's certainly far less risk in a CD than a portfolio that has the potential to lose value. So which would line up better with what you're looking to do? There's a greater potential reward in a stock and bond portfolio, but with that comes increased risk.
Right, and especially in this tumultuous situation that we're in right now, you know, economically, the issue is that I thought that if we're looking at a 5-year range, you know, that stocks would not be a good option.
Yeah, how far away are they from college? How old are they?
They're in 7th and 8th grade. Mary
okay.
Grace is in 7th grade, and Josh yeah. is in 6th.
Yeah. But, you know, there's just no way to know. I mean, obviously you're, 5 and 6 years away. And, yeah, I mean, we're expected to hit a recession at some point next year. You know, could the market, you know, be somewhat flat over the next 5 years? It's possible. Could it be lower? Yeah. Is it likely that it'll be higher? Probably. But we don't know. So given that time horizon is not quite 10 years and you're feeling the sense that you'd rather not put this money at risk, you know, perhaps that CD is the better option for you. And so you're right. You can get up to, 5.5% right now between 1 and 2 years. You could go to your local bank. You could also go to bankrate.com and, see who has the best rates right now. That's bankrate.com. And they'll, give you a listing of all the online banks and who has the best interest rates right now. If you want control over the money, I'd probably put it in a joint name with you and your husband. You would have to pay taxes on it because it would be your asset, but you'd also have control over the time that they receive the money. If you make this a custodial account, which is then when it's not taxed at your tax bracket, it's a responsibility ultimately of the child, then, they automatically get the money at the age of 18 or whatever the age of majority is in your state. And, depending on their level of spiritual and financial maturity, you may or may not want them to have all that money at 18. And that's where keeping it outside of a custodial account would ensure that you get to choose when they get the money. Does that make sense?
Yes, very much okay. so. Yeah. Thank you so much.
All right, Evelyn. You sound like a wonderful grandmother. We appreciate you calling today, and thanks for being on the program. All right, it's time to talk to Jerry Boyer. It's a Friday, and Jerry stops by each morning with his on Friday with his market commentary. Jerry, still some pressure on these markets. A lot of red the last several weeks. A lot of cross currents yeah. going on. What do you make of all of it?
Yeah, and some red this week as well, which I think has to do with the now familiar pattern. If the economy is doing better, for instance, we got a surprisingly high GDP number yesterday. That means that we're growing too fast. It's going to cause
yeah.
inflation, so we have to slow things down to fight inflation. Which means that the investors think the Fed is, not going to cut now. They thought that the Fed was going to cut. Now there's basically acting like there's no probability of that. It's more likely to be a hike. And that means the Fed will be pulling money out of the financial markets, which makes them go down. So this is a very familiar pattern that we've been talking about now for some time. The other one was the inflation number was a little, I don't know if it was higher than expected, but it's still high. So these are 3 months of elevated inflation that what amounts to roughly over 4% if you annualize that number. So we haven't beaten inflation, which means that the Fed wants to beat inflation. It's going to have to stay tighter for longer with the money supply. All of those things are, the old analogy. Someone once asked the chairman of the Fed, this is in the 1950s, they were at a party, and she said, "What do you do for a living, sir?" And he pointed at the punch bowl, and it was a spiked punch bowl. He said, "When the party gets too exciting, it's my job to take the punch bowl away." So that's kind of what the way they think that it works. So the party's a little too exciting. So we need to end the party. It hasn't felt exciting. I mean, Evelyn talked about our tumultuous economic times. She feels it.
Yes, she does.
Grandma feels it, right? She's shopping, right? She knows what's going on. She goes to church and she hears about people having trouble finding a job. They could find a job before. The grandmas know. The Fed doesn't. So these tumultuous economic times do not. We don't need to be slowed down further but the central bank thinks we do based, and more so based on this week's news than they did last week. And that's why we had a slightly down market.
Yeah. Jerry, are you surprised at GDP? And even one of the other numbers that came out as a part of this economic data package was that, you know, personal spending kept up and then some. You know, it was up 0.7%, better than the 0.5% forecast. So despite the tumultuous times, Americans are still spending away.
Yeah, well, not really that surprised, because as you remember, about this time, almost this time yesterday, a couple of hours later, I was doing the quarterly webinar.
Yeah.
And I suggested that the third quarter market behavior was indicating a very strong third quarter. And we looked at some of those scatter charts, and they were intersecting at around 4%. So it's a little higher than I expected. And basically, as we were predicting it, that data was coming out there in real time while we were doing the webinar. It was a little higher than expected, but not much. So why was it so high is really the question. And as you know from yesterday's conversation with the KA members, I think people are asking, when's the recession going to happen? I think it already did. I just think that it was a business-focused recession, not a consumer-focused recession, and it was spread out in two half recessions. One was service sectors, and the other was manufacturing. So to my estimation, we're coming out of the recession now, and when you come out of a recession, you tend to have a strong one or two quarters.
Yeah, no question about that. All right, Jerry. Well, that's really helpful. And of course, you know, we're continuing to see some consistent themes here. Any updates on the corporate engagement front? I know you're continuing to work there.
Well, just I know that we've been working together on Apple and its tendency to censor content. And I just note that Jon Stewart, I'm not a big Jon Stewart fan, the comedian. His politics aren't mine. But he's been critical of Chinese human rights abuses, and Apple is ending its partnership with him. I don't think these companies should be kowtowing to the Chinese government. Now, you might say, well, it's a big market and, you know, they owe some obligation to shareholders. I think that the Chinese government is not a reliable partner. And so I think giving into them may seem like a profitable move, but I think in the long term, it's a non-profitable move. Now, AFA is engaging largely because Apple's been taking down Bible apps at the demand of the Chinese government. But whatever they're taking down, even if they're taking down comedians that I don't particularly like, I still want them obeying the tyrants of the Chinese government, when they censor content that wouldn't be my cup of tea. So I think we need to really keep the pressure up on these tech companies to genuinely be open platforms. Their long-term value proposition isn't in becoming outsourced censors for the Chinese government or for the Biden administration, as we know many of them did in the recent court ruling. Their job should really be to be an open platform. And in the long run, that will also be more profitable for the shareholders.
Yeah, there's no question about that, Jerry. Well, this is important work. We're grateful that you're on the job. And I know in this particular case, you're representing the position held by the American Family Association. So grateful that you and AFA are working with the largest corporation in the world to make sure that they're not letting their political endeavors trump their business activities.
Hear, hear.
Thanks for being with us today, Jerry. Man. Have a great weekend.
You too. Bye.
All right. That's Jerry Boyer. He's our resident economist. He joins us each Friday on this broadcast. Hey, Brian, I'd love to get to your call. Our team will pick up the line, see if we can get you scheduled for the broadcast on Monday, and we can talk then. Folks, thanks for being along with us. On behalf of my team, Devin Patrick, Robert Youngblood, and Jim Henry, I'm Rob West. This has been Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.